Good morning, church family. It's good to be together this morning. How many enjoyed the weather yesterday? Wow. A little foretaste of what is to come, amen? See, that's what I believe heaven is going to be like, really. I think heaven is going to be 80 degrees every day. It's going to be sun shining. It's going to be great. All right. But until then, it's going to be Wisconsin. All right. They tell us we're going to get back down to 57 degrees before the week's over. So I hope you enjoyed yesterday. Well, we're continuing on this morning in our series. Our series is on the Holy Spirit in you. And week one, this is our third week. On week one, we discovered that the Holy Spirit is a person, not an it, with a well-developed and well-defined personality. We said the Holy Spirit has a will. He has intellect, emotions. He has the ability to communicate. We also discovered that the fruit of the Spirit describes his personality. That the Holy Spirit's personality, if you were to describe him, you would describe him as being love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We said the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He never pushes. He always guides, he always directs. Now, the Holy Spirit is far more than merely an influence or power. Week two, then, we investigated the Holy Spirit's role in creation. In Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, Genesis, by its very name means beginning. It says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters." From the earth's original formless state, then, of liquids and gases and elements, the Holy Spirit, as we looked at it last week, brought forth divine order and beauty out of the existing chaos of that time. Now, I believe that that's a wonderful picture of what the Holy Spirit can do for any one of our lives. If you feel like your life is chaotic, your marriage is chaotic, your home is in a mess, I believe the Holy Spirit is the answer to leading you out of the chaos and to bring you into the beauty that God designs for your life, for your family, and for your future. Now, this morning, as we press on, I want to take an expanded look at the ministry of the Holy Spirit as found throughout the pages of the Old Testament. You see, some Christians wrongly come to the conclusion that the Holy Spirit's ministry was either non-existent or minuscule prior to the outpouring that we read about in Acts chapter 2. However, a closer examination of the Old Testament, I believe, will show us today quite a different picture. I think it is interesting to note that the very first and last chapters of the Bible, they talk about the Holy Spirit. They make mention of the Holy Spirit's ministry. In Genesis 1 and verse 2, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord was hovering over the waters and bringing beauty out of the chaos." And then the last chapter of the Bible, last book of the Bible, Revelation 22 and verse 17, it says, "The Spirit and the bride say, come." Now, if you look at Genesis chapter 1 all the way through to Revelation 22, what you discover is seamlessly all throughout the history of planet Earth, the Holy Spirit has been at work. Now, Bible scholars have identified at least 88 different references to the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament, whereas as they began to do their count in the New Testament, they have a number of 261, and each one of these is a reference to the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. So, Old Testament, 88 different references, New Testament, 261, and bookend from Genesis to Revelation, chapter 1, Genesis, Revelation 22, bookend to bookend, seamlessly, the Holy Spirit has been at work. There's a man by the name of Harry Turner. has written a fascinating book titled The Voice of the Spirit. And in his book, he says this, "Everything unfolded about the Holy Spirit in the New Testament is already found in the Old Testament, with one exception, that is the word baptize." So if you want to know what the Holy Spirit is like, you can find the Old Testament supporting and showing and giving a foretaste of what the ministry of the Holy Spirit is going to be like in the New Testament, and not only the New Testament, but in our day, in our time, in our season as well. The Old Testament particularly emphasizes the Holy Spirit as one that is empowering. Empowering for moments of service. Equipping so they might accomplish the will of Almighty God, and ordaining people for God's service. And so you'll discover that the Old Testament, as you look at the work of the Holy Spirit, he's empowering, he is equipping, and he's ordaining people for service for God. And then as we move on, you'll discover here this morning that the Holy Spirit has much more that he is doing throughout the pages of the Old Testament. And so we're going to look at that in some depth this morning. First of all, I want to go back to where we left off last week. Last week, we were talking about the Holy Spirit's role in creation. Now, in Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." No attempt here at trying to explain how it all happened. Rather, just the facts. In the beginning, whatever that beginning is, it was God. What did God do? He created. What was it? He created the heavens and the earth. And how was it at the beginning? The earth was formless, empty. Darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, was hovering over the waters. And we said it was hovering over the waters, much like a hen would hover over its eggs, protecting and ultimately wanting to bring forth brand new life. Now in Psalm 33 in verse 6, which we looked at last week as well, it says, "By the word of the Lord were the heavens made." Ex nihilo. God spoke into existence things that have never been. It was not the reassigning. It was not the recreating of something that already existed. But ex nihilo simply means he makes all things out of nothing. And so by the word of the Lord, by the command of the Lord, were the heavens made and their starry hosts by the breath of his mouth, by the same breath that gave Adam life, is the breath that he gave into the heavens and declaring, "Let there be light," and the billions and trillions of lights began to shine. The Holy Spirit's ministry in creation then was to bring first and foremost divine order to the chaos that was taking place, then to bring life to the planet, and ultimately to mankind. It is the breath of God, the Ruach of God in us, the breath of life. Now, secondly, I want you to see how the ministry of the Holy Spirit is to be God's agent of grace. You know, following the creation of Adam and Eve, the Bible tells us that God would come and visit with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day. Now, the cool of the day simply means early morning and late at night. I think these are the two times of the day that are probably some of the most important in our lives. Before we get up and go about our day, the Holy Spirit wants to come and reaffirm us and guide us and direct us and give us, I believe, instruction for the day, long before we get out of bed and mess it all up. And so the Holy Spirit begins in the morning speaking to us, guiding us, directing us, showing us the plan for the day, and that he's not going to abandon us. He's going to go with us wherever we go throughout that day. But he also comes, I believe, in a very special way just before we close out the day. My wife and I, we have a habit of, before we shut the lights out at night, is to take arm in arm, and we pray, and we begin to pray for one another and pray for this church community, but begin to just see how God would want us to close out that day. You know, some days go just like we'd want, other days don't. And as a result of that, we come to a point whereby, you know, at the end of the day, the Holy Spirit comes along, starts us out in the morning, walks through the day with us, and then loves to put the capstone of the day on for the evening so that we can sleep well. Because a lot of times we bring with us into the bedroom at night all the things that could have, might have, should have, things that shouldn't have happened that did happen, things that should have happened that didn't happen, back and forth. We bring all that with us. And the Holy Spirit comes alongside and then wants to guide us into how we might rest best for the night, what to leave behind, what to leave with God. And so that is what was happening. God would come into the garden, and he would come in the garden in the morning and then again at evening to speak with Adam and Eve. Now, no matter how you put it, it was a magnificent love story. The Creator enjoying time with his creation. Now, it was in these daily meetings, I believe, that Adam and Eve found their purpose for being. I believe that it was in these early morning and late night gatherings with God, they found their source of value and worth. All of it comes out of this relationship with God. Then, as we all know, sin entered into the human race, and man began to run from the Creator rather than running to the Creator. And God, however, kept on reaching out through his agent of grace, which is the Holy Spirit. Now, I want you to realize God is a God of mercy and a God of grace, but the agent by which he brings to us his mercy and grace is the person of the Holy Spirit. Sadly, however, rather than listening to the Holy Spirit, they shunned him. They rejected his drawing and his wooing. They silenced his conviction. And they told the precious Holy Spirit to leave me alone. Tragically, this ongoing rejection then, generation after generation, following after Adam and Eve, to their sons, to their grandchildren, their great-grandchildren, and generations to come. And we read about these generations in Genesis chapter 5 and how long they lived and all of this. But tragically, they rejected God's agent of grace. And once again, here's what happened. As a result of that, between Genesis 1 and Genesis chapter 6, you'll discover that mankind and the whole planet plunged into a chaos of a different sort. It was violence, murder, and corruptness in every realm of life. Listen to what it says in Genesis chapter 6. It says, "The Lord God saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become, and that every inclination of his thoughts," that means the imagination, he was even using his God-given imagination only to think up more evil, "and the inclination of the thoughts of his heart was evil all the time." So man had digressed to the point, rather than thinking about God, rather than walking with the Holy Spirit, rather than having these morning and evening rendezvous, they now began to push God out of their life. And as they did so, the culture and the planet literally began once again, and I emphasize, once again, began to sink into chaos. And this chaos is explained there in Genesis chapter 5 and 6. Where it says man's wickedness on the earth had become so great that God, the Lord God, grieved that he had made man on the earth, and his heart was filled with pain. Now, if you go back just a few verses there, here's what it says in Genesis 6 and verse 3. It says, "Then the Lord said, my spirit," listen to this, "my spirit, the Holy Spirit, will not contend with man forever, for he is mortal. His days will be 120 years. Now, prior to this declaration, if you go to Genesis chapter 5, you'll discover that Adam, the first man, he lived to be 930 years old, followed by Seth, 912 years, Enosh, 905. Kenan, 910 years. And Methuselah, we all know he's the longest living man ever in the history of the world. And Methuselah lived to be 969 years. Now, seeing the wickedness and the rejection of the Holy Spirit and God's mercy and grace, God said, we're going to put an end to this longevity. And no longer will man live 969 years, but he now will have a full life at 120. And you'll discover that as you get into Psalms, that that is even reduced down to 80 years, maybe on the top end. Now we know some that live longer than that, and many that live less than that. But God said, my Spirit, my Holy Spirit is not going to compete, will not strive, will not struggle with man forever. And he goes on to say that man's days are now going to be limited. Just a few verses later, you read about what is called the worldwide flood, where all of mankind was destroyed with the exception of Noah and his family. 8 in total were saved on the ark. Noah's generation, what led to this? Adam's generation and the generation of his sons leading up to Noah and including Noah's generation, they rejected the Holy Spirit, God's agent of grace, and then they paid the consequences, which is death. That's why in the New Testament, the Bible tells us there, the wages of sin is death. But it doesn't stop there. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Friends, aren't you glad that God has a plan for life? God has a plan for heaven. He's got a plan for joy. And it is given to us, it is brokered to us, you might say, by the precious Holy Spirit. Now, thirdly, the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament imparted supernatural wisdom and abilities to the people of God. In Exodus chapter 31, I find it rather interesting here how God says, I have given skills, talents, and abilities, and these talents, skills, and abilities are not what we would call spiritual. They are the kind of talents, skills, and abilities that one is going to need just to do life here on this earth and to make a difference with your life to help others and to further the kingdom of God. So here's what it says, Exodus 31, starting with verse 1. Then the Lord said to Moses, this is about building the wilderness tabernacle and all of its furniture. Then the Lord said to Moses, see, I have chosen Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him, here it is, I have filled him with the Spirit of God. Now, you might say, well, he didn't speak in tongues. I didn't have until the New Testament. He didn't have wisdom, you know, or knowledge as part of the gifts. Here's what it does say. I have filled him with the Spirit of God with skill, ability, and knowledge in all kinds of crafts. Have you ever stopped to think that the skill set you have and the talents you possess have been given to you by the Holy Spirit? They have been given for your good and for the furtherance of the kingdom of God. To make artistic designs, to work in gold and silver and bronze, to cut and set stones, to work in wood and engage in all kinds of craftsmanship. And as you read on there, he says, I've called others and I've given them the ability, once again, to be a part so that they would know how to make cloth and how to dye cloth and how to make, you know, the uniforms for Aaron and as the high priest and Aaron's sons, and all of this is all spelled out there. But let me boil it down to this. He says, I have filled him with the Holy Spirit. And the purpose was very earthy. It was for everyday kind of life. I've given the Spirit of God to him. I've given him skill. I've given him ability. And I've given him knowledge. Friend, the thing you do and the way you do it has all been because God has been the source of your talents and gifts, as it was for these men in the Old Testament. Gifts that would serve them well for a lifetime. Gifts that would provide the financial needs for them and for their families. You know, I so enjoy observing young children. You know, if you watch them at play, it's quite a thing, because you begin to see the skills and the giftings and the talents that God has given them. You know, for some, it becomes evident early on that they have the gift of music. Now, that passed me over totally. But, you know, as you see a child, some will sit down to a piano and it's just bang, 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 you know? And another will sit down, and though they may not know notes or how to play, they begin to choose something that's melodic. Now, it may be irritating to mom and dad, but it's melodic to them. And you can see as time goes by, there's a natural talent there. Others, it might be in mathematics. As you begin to work them through, 1 + 1 = 2, it's not long, and you're talking now, they comprehend it. It just seems like it clicks so easy for them. Now they're doing division and multiplication, and they're doing algebra as time goes by, from algebra to calculus, and all of this, it just seems to flow. It all comes so easy. For others, their minds are just set around building and building, and they're able to build, whether it's blocks as a child, and then as they grow up, they're building our skyscrapers. Mechanical dexterity, you watch them. Their ability to work with their hands, and maybe one day those little hands will become surgeons. Or what about cognitive skills or communication skills? Each and every skill has been specifically given by the Holy Spirit to advance His kingdom and to provide for their financial needs for a lifetime. That's the gifting of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes what we do, if we're not careful, we take and so dichotomize things that we say that the Holy Spirit only does what we would call hyper-spiritual things. But I just have read to you where the Holy Spirit, throughout the pages of the Old Testament, He chose men, put His Spirit within them, gave them skills and abilities, and that is no different for you today. That which comes so natural for you. I mean, you've worked on, you know, growing in your gifting and your skills, no doubt about that. And we all do. But nonetheless, it becomes very evident early on that this is a God-given, you know, skill and talent that He's given you, and it's for the good of the kingdom and for your life to serve you well for a lifetime. Now, fourthly, the Holy Spirit's ministry of the Old Testament was to speak to and then through the prophets. One of the key phrases that is used in the Old Testament, and I want you to kind of be looking for this as you're beginning to go through the Old Testament. But as you go through the Old Testament, there's a phrase, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." And you discover that every time the Spirit of the Lord comes upon an individual, there is either a supernatural happening or a supernatural utterance. Something supernatural happened every time in the Old Testament where it said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." Now, we'll be talking further about the difference between the Holy Spirit coming upon you and the Holy Spirit indwelling you. In the Old Testament, what we discover is that God's Holy Spirit comes and He comes upon people. Let's look at Numbers 24, verses 2 and 3. It says here, "When Balaam looked out and saw Israel encamped tribe by tribe, the people of God came upon, or the Spirit of the Lord God, or the Spirit of God, came upon him, and he uttered this oracle." So it was the Spirit of God comes upon him, and then he utters an oracle, and that oracle is a declaration of what God was going to do for Israel. They had actually brought him in to curse Israel. He said, "I cannot do what God does not say." And the Spirit of the Lord came upon this man called Balaam, and he then began to speak words of proclamation of blessing over Israel. Ezekiel chapter 11 and verse 5. It says, "And the Spirit of the Lord came upon me, and he told me to say, this is what the Lord says." So notice, when the Spirit of the Lord came upon an individual in the Old Testament, something either supernatural was said or something supernatural was done. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21, here's what the Apostle Peter writes. He says, "Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation." Here's another way of saying it. When the holy prophets of old, when they spoke and when they recorded what we know to be God's eternal word, it didn't come out of their will. It wasn't something they just cooked up. It wasn't, you know, the prophets and a few friends getting together and saying, "Let's write a book." It was something given to them by God. Verse 21 says, "For prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, never came from man originally, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." Now that phrase there, "carried along," simply means influenced and inspired by. So the Word of God tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Literally, if you read that in the original, it's been God-breathed. This book is not like any other book. And it has stood the time and the test of time because it was not the words of men, but was the words of Almighty God. And God chose to put his Spirit upon men, and then they began to understand the voice of the Spirit, and they began to write down what God was telling them. Friends, I'm so grateful for the ministry of the Holy Spirit that started, we could say, on day one, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. All the way through to Revelation chapter 22. Seamlessly, the Holy Spirit's been at work. You see, the ministry of the Holy Spirit is clearly seen then all throughout the pages of the Old Testament. His ministry is clearly seen at creation. The Holy Spirit is God's dispatching agent for grace. Therefore, if we reject the Holy Spirit, we're rejecting God's grace. And the Bible says, "My spirit will not strive with man always." If you say, "Go away," he's a gentleman, he will go away. But to your own demise and your own defeat, as it happened with the sons and daughters and those that were the generations that followed after Adam until we get to Genesis chapter 6, until the world was so chaotic, representing a time period of murder and such that we see, I believe, even in our own streets today. The Holy Spirit is God's dispatching agent of grace. He imparts supernatural knowledge, skills, and abilities. He speaks to and he speaks through the prophets. He gives supernatural strength as he did to Samson. He gives courage to men like Gideon. This, my friends, is the work of the precious Holy Spirit all throughout the Old Testament. And as Turner says in his book, that anything you find in the New Testament, there is a foretaste of it in the Old Testament. Friend, I want you to know today, God loves you. God created you. And I believe he's had his Holy Spirit watching over you and brooding over your life. And you may be in the moment of great chaos right now. Our culture's in chaos. Friday night, the celebration down by Pfizer turned into a wicked gathering of fighting and shooting and maiming and even killing. Yesterday, grocery store, man comes in and shoots and kills 10 people in the grocery store at random. There was a time that you are placing your life in harm's way if you went to the wrong place at the wrong time. but now it knows no boundaries. We're living in an hour much like where God said, I've seen what's happening on the earth, and it's going to be a timeout. And the Holy Spirit is saying, come. I want to get you up in the morning. I want to walk with you all day long. I want to tuck you in at night. When the day has been frustrating, I want to pull that frustration out of you. I want to give you a new start in the next day, and I'm going to give you sleep at night. I'll show you how you can set aside the disappointments, the things you wish would have never happened, never been said. That's why he comes and closes out the day with us, as he did with Adam and Eve. The danger is to say no to the Holy Spirit in any way. And so the Holy Spirit is tugging. He isn't pushing. He's not beating. He's saying it's time to get ready. Come to Christ. Acknowledge him as Lord. Allow his grace to be poured out on your life. Others of you in the room today, you know that God has given you certain gifts, skills and talents and abilities. And you've been trying to figure out, how in the world do I use this for the kingdom? How is this spiritual? I don't think goldsmithing in and of itself, that was anything that was, you know, too spiritual. Carving of wood or making of the fabrics or dyeing the fabrics that was used either in the building of the Old Testament tabernacle. But God has a way about making everything spiritual and life-changing, not only for us but for others, when we take our skills and abilities and put them back in God's hands and we say, Lord, it's all come from you. Now show me how to use it for your kingdom, to advance your kingdom on this earth, not only to make money for myself, not only to keep a roof overhead for the family. And all of that's so important that God gives you skills and abilities so you can do that. But he said, I want you to also know those skills and abilities, they can move the kingdom forward. Let's bow our heads. Father, Lord, we're so grateful that you've got a plan. You had a plan for this earth. When it was still in its molten form and it was without shape and form and darkness was over the face of the deep. You had a plan, and it was your Holy Spirit that was brooding over the face of the deep. And out of the chaos, you were bringing the beauty of what we see around about us today of creation. You sent your Holy Spirit all throughout the Old Testament to be the purveyor of your grace. Lord, we're so glad that you love us enough that you didn't abandon mankind and the plan of mankind. Lord, we're so glad that you never given up on us. Lord, we see a generation around us that's in most ways no different from that of the day of the flood when you decided, they don't want to listen, we're going to destroy. And all but 8 individuals were wiped off the planet. God, I pray, Lord, that we'd be quick to respond. Lord, I need your grace. I need your mercy. I need your help to live out daily life. With heads bowed and eyes closed, somebody would say today, Pastor, I know the Holy Spirit's been offering the grace of God. And I sense that in a special way in this service right now, that his grace is being extended towards me. And I want to receive the grace of God, the mercy of God, the forgiveness of God. And I want you to pray for me that I can come into a relationship with God that is like that of Adam and Eve, that I can know that he walks with me, talks with me, starts me out on the day and helps me close out the day. That's who I am. I need Christ in my life. Pastor, you pray for me today. Let me see your hands go up real high. All over. God bless you, ma'am. God bless you. God bless you, friends back over here. God bless you. There are scores in this room right now, so honest before God. You're saying, I don't want the moment of God's offer of grace to pass by. You may put your hands down. Let me ask one other question. How many would say this morning, you know, Pastor, I've got skills and abilities and talents, and I know, I recognize they've come from God, but I'm not sure how I'm to use those. How am I to put this into action to further the kingdom? Will you pray for me so that I might know the will of God, the plan of God, and how I can move the ball forward with the talents and skills that God has given to me? If that's you, let me see your hands as well. Yes, all over this room. Here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I want to have a closing prayer with you. If you raise your hand, you say, I want the grace of God, the mercy of God, forgiveness. I want a relationship with Christ. I want you to come. And if you're saying, I need to come into a place whereby I understand how to use what God has given to me to further the kingdom and also be a blessing, of course, to my family and to the needs that I have. If that's in your heart today, you've raised a hand. I want you, as Mike begins to sing, to come from all of this room. Let me pray for you before we leave this room. God is on his throne. He knows who you are. He loves you and he wants to do something wonderful in your life. You come as he begins to sing.